So good afternoon. As I was saying earlier, I'm Deborah Gordon-Elbabetti. I'm the President and CEO of Research Canada. And I would really like to welcome our members and supporters and partners to this second webinar we've hosted this year, featuring our guest speaker, Michelle McLean, who's Senior Vice President of Health and Wellness at Hill & Knowlton Canada. And I know you're especially anxious to speak to her today in light of the newest revelations regarding our Prime Minister. So today's discussion should be very interesting. The purpose, of course, of today's webinar is really to inspire you to get out and to meet candidates in your riding during the federal election campaign in an effort really to educate them on the important role that health research and health innovation play in improving the lives of Canadians and critically in nation building. But it's not only about that. It's also about establishing and strengthening relationships with candidates who will be our future members of parliament in the next parliament. Influencing decision makers during the next 4 years can really only happen if you've invested in building a relationship with them. And it really starts now with this election, boots on the ground. Elections, in my view, are opportunities for advocates. So during the webinar, we'll talk about how we can use this election time to really set the stage for our next four-year advocacy goals and our campaigns. As I was saying earlier, we're delighted to have Michelle with us today, who will really share her valuable insights about what to expect throughout the following several weeks. I guess we have 4 weeks left of the campaign, and to learn how to engage effectively all of the candidates this fall. And after her presentation, of course, you will have an opportunity to ask her questions about the federal election campaign. But before Michelle presents, I, along with Christy Tompkins, who's Research Canada's Manager of Policy and Public Affairs, will help you to gain the most from the Your Candidates, Your Health advocacy campaign that we have launched by using its resources to either strengthen or lay the groundwork for what we call a mutually beneficial relationship with your riding's future member of parliament. So most of you are aware of Your Candidates, Your Health campaign, and you'll know it's both a virtual and a print initiative. Our election primer, which spells out Research Canada's policy positions and advocacy messages, and our Leave Behind campaign kit, have really been provided to our members in print format so that you are really meeting ready when you decide to meet with local candidates. And I cannot stress enough how important that is. All you need to do is to add some of your own organization's information and you're ready to advocate to local candidates. So I'd like to call upon Christy now to highlight some of the key resources in the kit we have just sent to you. She'll just take a minute or two to do that because I know we want to get to Michelle, but we do want to make sure you have all the information you need on the kit materials. Now, keep in mind, these resources are on the Your Candidates website and they can be downloaded as needed and at your discretion. So, Christy.
Okay, give me one moment, everyone, to just switch over the screen so you can see our documents.
Just take a moment.
Okay. So here we have our lovely website, our Your Candidates, Your Health website. And we have lots of resources here, so I really encourage everyone to go check that out. What I'd really like to focus on here is we have our three toolkit documents that were sent out to all of our members now over the last week or so. So this is our election primer. It highlights the achievements that the Liberal government has made in advancing health research, advancing the health research enterprise, We also have, notwithstanding these achievements, there are still lots of challenges facing the ecosystem, as you all, I'm sure, know. So we have identified all of these challenges here. What we also have is that given these challenges, we've developed our four advocacy positions. And so you'll see them here in our election primer. We also have four advocacy messages that are nice and concise and will help you really easily get that message across to candidates. We also have a tips for effective advocacy toolkit, which will give you a lot of different tips on how to really effectively bring these messages forward to candidates. And so we have policy questions that you can ask candidates and answers to questions that they might ask you when you're meeting with them. We also have our results from the Canada Speaks 2019 National Survey with all of that data to help back up what you're saying to candidates. But in-person meetings aren't the only way that you can engage with candidates. We've also developed some tips for using social media for health research advocacy, and some guidelines for organizing town hall meetings with candidates to help you maximize your impact with them this fall. Really want to make sure that you leave our bilingual 2019 campaign kit with candidates after you do meet with them. So this kit will give you, will give candidates an overview of health research and innovation in Canada and what we need to unleash the full potential of the Canadian research enterprise. And I'm going to switch the screen back so that you can all see Deborah again and let her take it from here.
Thank you, Christy. So I just wanted to say a big thank you to Dr. Ryan Wiley, who is Research Canada's policy advisor to our board. He's also the president of Shift Health. And Ryan chairs our policy engagement committee, and he's been key to the development of our election primer and our advocacy messages. So I'd like to thank him and the Policy Engagement Committee for all of their great work. Some of our partners are on the line with us today, so many thanks to all of you who participated. So the Your Candidates, Your Health website also provides information and resources for advocates, candidates, and Canadians generally. It tells our sector's story, really, under four tabs, answering questions that candidates ask, such as, what is the state of our health research and health innovation enterprise in Canada? What have we achieved? And what are our challenges? What are patients saying about health research and its impact on their health? And what are the areas of health research and innovation where we as a country excel? And where are we in terms of groundbreaking discoveries and new technologies that will improve health and help our economy to prosper? The site really features stories that profile the health research and innovation happening at our member organizations. You can see on your screen patients' stories on the screen. I always say you have to win hearts first, minds later, when you're lobbying our members of parliament. And of course, it includes blogs, notably from our Michelle McLean, as well as blogs from other thought leaders. And these blogs are going to be updated on a weekly basis, so please check them out. It also presents the policy arguments with data that make the case for increased investments in Canadian health research and policies, very importantly, in support of our health and biosciences sector. We have to remember that the thrust of Research Canada's policy positions, and we are unique in this regard, is that we need a much more integrated and holistic approach to policy making, because health research and innovation are part of an ecosystem where all the parts are connected. So funding and policies have to reflect the interconnectedness of all of these parts, or we do a disservice to the whole and we cripple our ability to truly build a robust health innovation system. So I'm going to ask Christy to take you through two features on the website right now.
Yes, so if you want to know where your local candidates stand on health research and innovation in Canada, we really want to make sure that you send them a link to our 2019 candidate survey. You'll find it on our Your Candidates, Your Health website under resources for candidates. So send them a link to this. It is in French and English. And ask them to fill it out so that you know where they stand on health research. And when we get any responses that we do get from candidates, we'll be posting them to our website somewhere under resources for candidates about your candidates. And so you can check out and see if your local candidates have filled it out. If they haven't, send them a link and tweet at them. Do whatever it takes to get them to fill it out so that you can see what they're thinking going into the election. We've also been very busy on our Twitter page. So make sure that you are following @researchCDA to stay up to date on all of the latest Your Candidates, Your Health news. We are updating this quite regularly with lots of stories that are on our website, blog posts, highlights from our Canada Speaks poll. So we've got lots of stuff going on here, and we really encourage you to check that out and follow us and share our news that we're sharing on Twitter. And I will pass this back over to Deborah and Michelle.
Thank you very much, Christy, for taking us through our website. So now, of course, the pièce de résistance, it's my pleasure to introduce you to a dear friend and colleague, Ms. Michelle McLean. So many of you know Michelle is an experienced lawyer, public affairs and communications professional in both corporate and not-for-profit sectors, and her background includes a decade of public affairs and communications expertise, including almost 3 years as Vice President of Public Affairs at the Mental Health Commission of Canada. She has led and managed many national large-scale campaigns and is now the Senior Vice President of Health and Wellness at Hill & Knowlton Strategies.
Thank you, Deborah. Good afternoon, everyone. My plan is to keep my remarks fairly brief to leave lots of time for questions, and I've received some in advance, but we're looking forward to more questions this afternoon. Deborah has asked me to address the elephant in the room, and of course that's last night's development in terms of the revelation of a photograph of Justin Trudeau. I'm going to do that, but I'm going to start as if last night hadn't happened to give you a brief on where we find ourselves in the campaign. Understandably, last night will change things, and I'll address that in a moment. So as we headed into the campaign when the writ was dropped, the Liberals and Conservatives were essentially tied in terms of polling, and that has not really changed. So as of last night, the polling information that we have shows the two main parties essentially still tied, with a real battle happening, of course, at for third place. Unfortunately, the NDP are not projected to do as well as they did in the last election. And so they're really fighting for their lives across the country. And we have some seat projections that show they may drop as low as 15 seats, which is obviously a huge reduction from their current standing. In terms of the Liberals and Conservatives, of course, they're tied in public opinion polling, but how that translates at a riding level is slightly different. So in terms of seat projections, and you can find a lot of this information on the CBC election site, actually, it's quite good. They have a poll aggregator there and seat projections. As of last night, showed the Liberals still within striking distance of a majority. So looking at 169 seats if the election were to be held today versus 137 for the Conservatives. So they're still within striking distance of a majority government, but that was frankly as of last night. I think the world is different today, and I'll address that in a moment. However, I think most pundits would have said that the most likely outcome is a Liberal minority government if we were at the polls yesterday. The government, as you know, currently enjoys all of the seats in Atlantic Canada. They're not likely to repeat that feat, so they will be losing seats in Atlantic Canada. They'll lose seats in other parts of the country. And they're really focused on Quebec, where they see themselves increasing their seat count by 10 to 15 seats. So in terms of what are the top issues dominating the election campaign, heading into the campaign, voters were telling pollsters that their top three issues were the economy, healthcare, and climate change. But really where we see the parties focused in early days in the campaign is around cost of living issues, affordability. All of the parties are speaking to voters and appealing to them on the basis that they can make life more affordable. In terms of health specifically, to no one's surprise, pharmacare is likely to be the centerpiece of the healthcare debate and certainly will be the centerpiece of the Liberal platform when it's released. The NDP, of course, have released their platform. They've promised pharmacare, universal single-payer pharmacare, but extended Medicare to vision care, dental care, hearing, fertility. So a broad expansion of Medicare, and the NDP are really featuring health as a central part of their platform. As I said, pharmacare is a central part of the NDP platform. We're waiting for the Liberal platform to be released. It's expected that pharmacare will form a major cornerstone of their health commitments. The question, of course, that we're waiting for the Liberals to answer is which model of pharmacare they're likely to propose. And I think many months ago, many observers would have said that they preferred the fill-the-gap approach, where private insurance industry still played a major role in drug insurance in the country. But I'm led to understand that the Liberal Party is likely to promise a single-payer universal system and not a fill-the-gap approach. But of course, no one knows until the platform is released. In terms of the Conservatives and their health platform, that's not traditionally formed a big part of their platform focus, and I don't think it will this year. The Conservatives feel that their voters have other issues of concern and really focus there. That said, I think they will make some health commitments. Certainly seniors would be a reasonable demographic for the Conservatives to target. So I think we could expect that. So I was saying the Conservatives are likely to make some healthcare commitments, but I think they'll be very targeted to certain demographics. And I think seniors is a reasonable expectation. In terms of research, I think you will see some research commitments. We expect, for instance, the Liberal Party to make commitments around mental health and youth, and it would not surprise me that there may be some targeted research investments as part of that commitment. What's interesting, so there's been two platforms released, the Green Party and the NDP. The Green Party actually did include commitments around the funding of research. So the Green Party has called for the full funding recommendations from Canada's Fundamental Science Review. So the Naylor panel, they've called for the full implementation and funding of the recommendations in the report. And they've also specifically called out the three granting councils as in need of more funding. So that's encouraging. It's always helpful to have one party, in this case the Greens, make a formal commitment, and it hopefully will spur the other two parties, Conservatives and Liberals, to make specific commitments around research and health research. So that's where we were as of last night. I'm now going to address, because I've already this morning had many, many questions